to rightly interpret the Bible. And last week, we've been looking at all these different rules of interpretation, 15 different rules that will help us interpret any scripture in the Bible. And last week, we put it to the test. We took Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, and we ran it against these rules. And like I said before, you can't apply all the rules all the time, but you apply what you can. Okay? Like for instance, the rule of a literal interpretation. I mean, yeah, you can technically apply that every single time, but and when it says, judge not, be not judged there in Matthew chapter 7, 1, I mean, really, we pretty much know it's not spiritualizing anything. It's literally, you know, it's saying what it literally means. And so we looked at that Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, judge not, you be not judged. And we ran it through all these, and we found out that it means that when you judge, you use righteous judgment. Amen? In other words, you shouldn't be judging somebody else for something that you're doing. And so that's what we learned from that last week. Then I gave you another homework assignment. And this right here, I told you, is going to be a little tougher. I gave you Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And when you look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38, here is what it says. Acts 2, 38. It says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, Acts 2:38 here has been misrepresented a lot over the years. There are people today, certain movements and certain denominations today, that they will use Acts 2:38 to teach what they believe how a person is to be saved today. Okay? And they will say that that when you read Acts 2:38, it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, two things they normally teach with this. Number one, they say you got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized. And they base it off of Acts 2:38. They also, those same denominations, usually believe in sign gifts today. How many of you understand that? Okay, they believe that they're speaking in tongues and people slapping somebody upside the head and saying be healed and all these different things. And so they use this to teach this, okay? Now, what we're going to do today is we're going to look into Acts 2:38 and see what, you know, run across with these rules of interpretation to find out what it means. Now, when you did your homework assignment, did anybody get a guaranteed interpretation of this verse? In other words, when you looked at it, did you run across these things and say, I don't think it means what these denominations are saying it means? Well, you know, we're going to look today and we're going to see exactly what it means if you run it through the laws of interpretation. And so first, we're going to take this obviously as a literal interpretation. Okay, he did say it. He wasn't trying to spiritualize anything. So again, take it literal unless you can't take it literal. Second law there, the law of first mention, it does have a play into it, but we're going to look at that in just a few minutes. The laws of primary application, progressive revelation, subsequently added details really don't apply a whole lot in this case, but the law of context does. You have to read the context. Very, very, very important you read the context of Acts 2:38. Okay? Remember, you have to apply the who, what, when, where, and why of the scripture. You need to find out, you know, what were they talking about? Was there a question asked? Is he answering something? You need to find out all the information you can. You read some before it, and you read some afterward in order to find out the context. So let's do that. Who is doing the talking here? Well, when you read there in Acts chapter 2, it is Peter who is doing the talking. Who is being preached to? Well, look back, if you would, to verse 22. Verse 22. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22, Peter says, ye men of Israel. So he's talking to the people of Israel. Amen? Now that, I mean, we're trying to figure out here exactly what the context is. So he's preaching here to the people of Israel, and was there a question asked? There certainly was. In verse 32, look at verse 32. It says, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel," and he's talking to the Jews, "let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" That is the question that is asked, okay? So Peter here tells them that they had killed their Messiah, the one who was prophesied to come, the one that the prophets of the Old Testament prophesied to come, Malachi and all of them had prophesied to come. And when he said that they had killed their Messiah, they were pricked at the heart. And so realizing that what Peter said was true, they asked, what shall we do? Now, what did they not ask?
To be saved.
What shall we do to be saved is what they did not ask. Remember over there the jailer, in the Philippian jailer, what did he say? What must I do to be saved? That's not what these people said. He said, you killed your Messiah, the one that was prophesied to come, and they figured out it was true, and they're like, well, what should we do? What should we do? We've killed our Messiah. That's what they were at. That's a question that was asked. And then Peter says to them in verse 38, he says, "Then said Peter unto them," the Jews, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." All right. Now, how many of you remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross and he looks down and he says something? How many of you remember what one of the things he said was? "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." How many of you think that God answered that prayer? He sure did. How do we know that? Because Peter right here is preaching almost the same thing that John the Baptist was preaching. Remember John the Baptist, he said, repent and be baptized. Remember he said, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and he was baptizing people. Jesus is hanging on the cross, and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the next thing you know, Jesus Christ, he dies, he's buried, he rises again the third day, he ascends up into heaven. And here's Peter preaching to the nation of Israel, the same ones that the Lord said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And he's saying, repent and be baptized for remission of sins. You know what he's doing? He's giving the same opportunity that they were given before. If they had received Jesus Christ right here, they got down in the water and been baptized. If they had received him, you know what he would have done? He would have set up his kingdom. Now they kept on rejecting him. In fact, you keep on reading over here, Stephen starts to preach, and that's when he's talking about them resisting the Holy Ghost. And eventually, by the time you get to Acts 28:28, the gospel's coming to the Gentiles. You've got more than just the nation of Israel. I mean, you've got the Ethiopian eunuch. He's sitting there on the side of the road. He gets saved. You get the centurion. He gets saved. You get Paul. He gets saved. By the way, in Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, and Acts chapter 10, do you realize what you're seeing there? People getting saved. When the Lord says, go into the world and teach all nations, do you realize in Acts chapter 8 you had Ham getting saved? Do you realize in Acts chapter 9 that you had Paul, Shem getting saved? And then Acts chapter 10, you had the centurion, that's Japheth. Shem, Ham, and Japheth right there, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, and Acts chapter 10. Isn't that something? People getting saved. But in Acts chapter 2, he's preaching to the nation of Israel. And he's preaching them basically the same message that John the Baptist was preaching. And he said, listen, if you'll get down in the water here and repent, you get for remission of sin. Now, we're going to break this down a little bit more. He says here, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Now, one of the things that we're supposed to do is we are to take that verse. And according to one of our laws here, we are to take that verse and we are to compare it to other verses in the Bible. So when we take, Peter here says, repent and be baptized, you could just take that verse by itself and say, yep, you got to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized in order to be saved. But how many of you remember that law that you just can't take one verse and make a doctrine out of it? If you do, you're going to get messed up. That's the reason why there are people today, denominations today, that get Acts 2:38, and they're all upside down when it comes to salvation. They don't even know the true gospel message. They're preaching a false gospel. If somebody tells you today that you must be baptized in order to be saved in any way, that is a false gospel. Why? Because you've got to take that verse and compare it to other verses. So let's do that. Okay? Get, if you would, Romans chapter 10. Get that in one hand. And then get 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in the other hand. Now we're going to take what Peter said here to the nation of Israel, and then we're going to compare it to the gospel that you were saved with today. By the way, side note, if you were saved believing that you had to be baptized when you were saved, you were not saved, you were saved by a different gospel. You believe a different gospel, and that's not what saved you. There is one gospel that saves you today. Romans chapter 10, look if you would at verse 9. Paul makes it pretty plain here. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Question. You see any baptism mentioned there? You don't see water baptism nowhere in that chapter, folks. It's not there at all. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. All we're doing is taking what he said and what people believe that verse is saying in Acts 2:38 and comparing it to other verses. Now, when we compare it to Romans chapter 10, there's no mention of baptism there. So we know this. We know there's no mistakes in the Bible, right? Well, then what we have to do is we got to figure out what he's talking about here, because you go over here, they said, what shall we do? And he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for remission of sin. But over here, Paul says that you got to believe that the resurrection of Jesus Christ in order to be saved. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll compare it to this passage. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. The gospel which Paul preached unto you. Which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. So here's the gospel that Paul preached, by which gospel ye are saved. If ye keep in memory that I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Okay, now here's the gospel. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Question, where do you see baptism at there? You don't. Now, there's two scriptures there that when you compare it to Acts 2:38, Peter says, repent and be baptized. But when compared with other scriptures, you don't see baptism there. All right, turn if you would over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5. First John chapter 5. By the way, it's good to have the Lynches here, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen. Good to see them. First John chapter 5, look if you would at verse 1. Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone that loveth him that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Drop down to verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Notice how many times you see the word believe there. Believe, 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 believe. Question, how many times do you see the word baptism? None. So do you, when you compare what Peter preached in Acts 2:38 to other scriptures, would you agree this morning that the other scriptures really don't support what he's saying? Do you realize, you say, well, what scriptures do support what he's saying? Well, if you go back to those people that preached to the nation of Israel, like John the Baptist, that'll match. When you read the fact that Jesus started to preach repentance and baptism, that matches, but it doesn't match what Paul preached. What's the difference? Who was it being preached to? It's being preached to the nation of Israel. Okay, now listen. In the Old Testament and part of the New Testament, God was working with the nation of Israel exclusively. How many of you understand that? You read back in the Old Testament from the time of Abraham all the way through, it was about the nation of Israel. He was their Messiah. He was going to come back and he was going to set up his kingdom. Prophesied over and over and over and over. I mean, when you read the Old Testament, you can't pass it. I mean, you read about it all the time, describing how it's going to be when the Messiah comes back and all those different things. And you start to read, you know, during a 1,000-year reign, where the bear's going to be eaten out with the cattle out there in the field, and the young boy's going to be playing with the asp, and, you know, people at 100 years old will be as a child during that time. And you start to read about all, you know, fruit, the trees producing fruit once a month. That's still one of my favorite parts. Amen. But all these things are going to happen when the Messiah comes back. So he's been prophesied all the way through. And then you got John the Baptist. He comes preaching. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he's baptizing people. By the way, all the disciples got baptized. Even Peter got baptized. But you do realize that when Peter got baptized and obeyed the gospel that John the Baptist was preaching, he didn't even believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen, he obeyed John's baptism. How do we know he obeyed John's baptism? Because Jesus Christ said, whom say ye that I am, to Peter? Now, remember, John the Baptist, when he baptized, he was manifesting Christ to Israel. He is saying, if you get down in the water, remember this, back over in Isaiah chapter 6, it says that Israel is blinded. They're blind, so they can't see. They're dull of hearing, so they can't hear. They're blinded, spiritually blinded. In fact, they're still blinded when it comes to the Old Testament today, according to the book of Hebrews. They're blinded. So why was John the Baptist baptizing? To manifest. In other words, so they could see. To manifest Christ to Israel. So when he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is in the hand, these people that got down in the water and repented, when they come back up, that blindness was removed. That's the reason why when Jesus said, whom say ye that I am, talking to Peter, Peter turns around and says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, how do you know that? Because you're baptized. How do I know that? Because what did Jesus say? Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for God hath revealed this unto thee. So they were baptized. But remember, after they were baptized by John the Baptist's baptism, and Jesus would start to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it says that these things were hid from them, and they understood not these things. How many of you remember when Jesus Christ actually arose from the dead? How many of you remember the reaction of Peter and John and the apostles when Mary came back and said, he's not there, he's risen from the dead? It says that they seemed like idle tales to them. On the resurrection morning, they didn't even believe he had risen from the dead. But yet, they had been baptized by John the Baptist and obeyed John the Baptist's baptism. He had been baptized for the kingdom of heaven's hand. Now, go forward after the resurrection, and here's Peter preaching to the same nation of Israel, to the people of Israel, and he's preaching the same thing. What do you suppose would have happened if they got down that water and repented? blindness been removed, the Messiah would set up his kingdom, and everything would have happened. Why? Because when Jesus on the cross said, "Father, forgive them for what they know, for they know not what they do," that's exactly what God did. He forgave them and gave them another chance. Now, you say, how long did that last? Well, remember over there when Stephen starts to preach? And he said, "Why resist ye the Holy Ghost?" And they get so mad that they actually start to go after him, and they stone him. And then after they stone him, what was one of the last things they said when they stoned Peter? That there was a man sitting over here, and they were casting their clothes over there. And who was that man? It was Saul, but later to be Paul. And what did Paul end up being? The preacher to the Gentiles. You see how that all works out? So this passage here, when Peter's preaching this, and when you compare it to the other verses, the gospel today, listen, it's either those people in the other denominations are right, and Acts 2:38 is the way that a person is saved, or the rest of the scriptures are right, and the way to be saved today is to just trust upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, call upon him for salvation. Amen? Now, this is pretty important to me, and I'll tell you the reason why. Because if the people are right over in Acts 2:38, I'm lost as a golf ball in high weeds. Why? I never got baptized believing that would save me. In fact, I didn't even get baptized the day I got saved. So I got some real issues here. And here's the other thing. It's probably pretty important to them too, because if that's the way they believe to get saved, then they believed another gospel. And what did Paul say? If you preach another gospel, what? That you're cursed. I'd say it's a big problem. Amen? A lot of people say, what difference does it make? I mean, Acts 2:38, it involves believing in Paul and the Lord Jesus Christ. They just throw a little extra there. No, that's a different gospel. You can't say it's not a big deal. No, it's a huge deal. In fact, it's such a big deal that I can't think of a bigger deal in the Bible when it comes to us. I mean, how a person gets saved, I mean, what's bigger than that? So we need to figure out here what he's exactly saying. Now, we know that it's the same gospel that John the Baptist preached. He's saying, repent, be baptized, everyone in the name of Jesus Christ. By the way, he never says, believe upon anything. He says, repent and be baptized. So you got him over here preaching, repent and be baptized. And you got Paul over here preaching, Paul and John saying, believe. So we got to figure out what's going on here. There are no contradictions in the Bible, but we sometimes people, when they think it's contradiction, that's when they try to change the Bible. We're not going to do that. So we looked at the law of agreement, and it, like I said, it seems to contradict each other, but it doesn't. Now, turn, if you would, over to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. We're going to try to figure out exactly what he was talking about here. Now, Peter said, in Acts 2:38, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. So what he's saying is, get down in this water for the remission of sin. Now, in Hebrews chapter 9, look at verse 22. It says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there's no remission. Then what in the world is it talking about? Hey, listen, it's saying this. Without the remission of the shedding of blood, or without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Amen? But Peter said, get down in the water, repent, and be baptized for the remission of sin. Now, why in the world do you think Peter knew about the importance of the shedding of blood? Yeah. He would have known that. Then why in the world would he say repent and be baptized for the remission of sin then, if he knew they had to take the shed blood of Jesus Christ? Here in the Hebrews it says without the shedding of blood there is no remission, so we seem to have a problem here too. And because it's such a big problem today that preachers won't even preach on it hardly. They try to avoid Acts chapter 2 at all cost. How could Peter say such a thing that if he had known that the shedding of blood was required for remission? I mean, even Adam and Eve, they were, you know, when they were over there and they were wearing the vines around them, listen, they understood that when God gave them the fur to put around them, that an animal had to die. I mean, you say, well, I don't think they knew it. Well, sure they did. Who do you think taught Abel to offer a sacrifice of the lambs? Okay? I mean, so they would have known these things, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So how could Peter say such a thing if he had known that the shedding of blood was required? Well, he would have known that, you know, Peter would have known that a spotless lamb had to be sacrificed even in the Old Testament. He would have known that the lambs and bulls and goats had to be sacrificed to God. So why in the world would he say such a thing as repent, be baptized for remission of sin then? I mean, why would he say that? Well, here's your answer. The answer is found in one word. Back there in Acts 2:38, it says this: repent and be baptized for the remission of sin. You remember when we were looking at this law of first mention right here, and I told you that most of the time, you go back and you find a word and you find the definition of that word, you can stick with that definition and it'll be the same throughout the whole Bible. I said, but there are some exceptions. One of those exceptions I gave you was the word for. Okay? Now, when you look up the definition, or when you look back at the law first mentioned, for the word for, that definition would mean, when you're looking at that, remission now, if you're looking at remission, remission means away for now. When a person has cancer that goes in remission, it's not cured. It's just away for now. How many of you understand that? In other words, it's put on hold. You still have it, but it's in remission. Okay? All right? Well, that's kind of what you look at here. If you remember in the Old Testament, when the people sinned, they had to offer the blood of bulls and goats for their sins during that time. Question, did the blood of bulls and goats wash away their sins? No, it didn't. What did it do? It basically covered their sins. It put them in remission until what? Until the death and burial of Jesus Christ. Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Once he shed his blood, hey, listen, that's the reason why when people died that were righteous in the Old Testament, did they go right to heaven? No, they didn't. They went to a place called Abraham's bosom. You read that over there in Luke chapter 16. Well, why couldn't they go to heaven? Because no man goes to the Father without the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood had to be shed. Listen, when he shed his blood, that blood got them into heaven, and it gets you into heaven today if you believe upon him. Amen? But they couldn't go to heaven until he shed his blood. Why? Because the blood of bulls and goats it wasn't the cure for their sin. It just put it in remission. They still need the cure. All right? So they're waiting to go. Now when Jesus Christ dies, he shed his blood. What does he do? He leads captivity captive. Paradise now is in the third heaven. We're told that in 2 Corinthians. All right? So that's how that all happens. All right? So it's a remission. The blood of bulls and goats did not wash away their sin. It was for remission of sin. Christ had to die in order for every man to have their sins washed away. John 1:29 says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the whole world. That's everybody. By the way, when John said that, we were still in the Old Testament. Hadn't even happened. I mean, the death of Jesus Christ hadn't even happened yet. Okay, so even though this is recorded in the New Testament, John made that statement while the Old Testament was still in force. John said it was Jesus Christ that would take away the sins of the whole world, not water baptism. Water baptism could never take away the sins of anybody. You know, when there are people today that preach, well, you get down that water and you come back up, you're washed clean. No, you're not. You're just wet. Amen? Now listen, you're supposed to get baptized because Jesus Christ said to get baptized. If you say, well, Pastor, why do I need to be baptized? I'll say, because Jesus said so. That should be enough. Amen? But you don't do it for the remission of sin. Why? Yes, listen, if you trust in Jesus Christ, your sins aren't in remission. They're washed away. Amen. They're washed away. But was that true there? Well, in the gospel that John the Baptist preached, no. Jesus Christ hadn't died yet. When Peter's preaching, God is still working with the nation of Israel. He's saying, listen, if you'll repent, get down to water, I'll come back and set up my kingdom. And so Peter says, repent and be baptized for remission of sins. It had nothing to do with redemption. This remission was not referring to salvation, but remission that took place in the Old Testament that they offered bulls and goats. Now, how do we know that for sure? There in Hebrews chapter 9. Look, if you would, at verse 22 again. It says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Now, what's he talking about? Read it in context. Look back at verse 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Talking about how Moses took that blood and sprinkled everybody. Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. And so the context for remission of sin here is the Old Testament saints doing offerings, offering sacrifices. Their sins were remitted when the blood of the bulls and goats the bulls and the goats were slain and the blood was sprinkled. They were not redeemed. They weren't redeemed until Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Now, keeping that in mind, look at what Peter says there again in Acts chapter 2. He says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Now, Peter already knew that the blood applied in the Old Testament only put their sins in remission, right? And he knew without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. In the Old Testament, the people could not get their sins put in remission without the shedding of blood. They had to offer the sacrifices. But then when the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world comes, perfect, without blemish, Jesus Christ, when he sheds his blood, now that washes away everybody's sins. That's the reason today nobody would offer the blood of bulls and goats. Why? Because the perfect sacrifice has already been offered. You know what a slap in the face that would be to God if somebody today started to sacrifice bulls and goats? For one thing, it's not going to help out anybody doing it. Because all that was a picture of Jesus Christ, who's already come and already shed his blood. Amen? So a guy today is saying, well, I think you need to keep the law. By the way, those people that say you need to keep the law, strange, I don't ever see them going to the temple and killing animals. But even if they did, it wouldn't do them any good at all. Why? Because it's not about having your sins remitted today at all. It's about having them washed away. Amen? All right, so Peter here, he's saying, repent, be baptized for remission of sin. You say, well, wait a second. I thought Peter knew that it took blood to put sin in remission. He did. The word for is what you have to concentrate on. When he says repent for the remission of sin, when you look at the word for in the Bible, it has a few meanings. But one of the meanings it has is the meaning of because. Because. For example, if I said I cannot buy a new car today, for I am broke. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen, we're all broken here, right? But I cannot buy a car today, for I am broke. You know what that for means? Because. I can't buy a car today because I am broke. And you say, well, that's a pretty good example. I mean, Pastor, but what about the Bible? Well, turn back to Genesis chapter 2. All the way back to Genesis chapter 2, and we'll look at the word for. Back in Genesis chapter 2, and see what it means. Does it mean in the sense of you got to be baptized in order to get remission of sin? Be baptized for the remission of sins? In other words, you got to be baptized in order to get remission. Well, Peter already knew that wasn't true, so he wouldn't say something like that. So what is he saying when he says for the remission of sin? Well, back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 5, let's read it. It says that every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the tree before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Now, if you read that, that for means because. Because. All right, let's look at another verse. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, look if you would at verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. How many of you see that definition there? Acts 9, 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel. He's saying, go thy way because he is a chosen vessel of mine. How many of you see that? Okay. All right. A couple chapters over to Acts chapter 11. Look at verse 23. Acts 11, 23. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. You see that four there? You know what that means? Because. Because he was a good man. All right, Acts chapter 18. Flip over seven chapters to Acts chapter 18. Look at verse 18. Acts 18, 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence to Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Centuria, for he had a vow. Again, what does it mean? Because he had a vow. Now, if you think about this, Peter knew that it took the blood of Jesus Christ to put somebody's sin in remission, right? So he says this. He looks at those, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, and he says this. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sin. Now, he knows that only the blood of Jesus Christ will put sin in remission, right? So when he says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, what was he saying? Get down in the water, repent, get down in the water because of the remission of sins. You read back there in Hebrews, and you know what the Jews did? They offered the blood of bulls and goats, right? And that put their sins in remission. And Peter says this in the nation of Israel. He goes, you've done that. You've had your sins put in remission. You were given the opportunity to kill the bulls and goats. And because God has allowed you to do that. Listen, do you realize that the grace of God, when he sent Jesus Christ to the Jews, it was after the captivity, and then he says, you know what, I'm going to send you, even though you've worshipped all these false gods, and even though I had to punish you by sending you into Babylon, I tell you what, the grace of God, I'm going to send my son Jesus Christ to you as your Messiah, and all you have to do is receive him, and he'll set up his kingdom. They said, we'll have no other king over us but Caesar, and they hung him on the cross. Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then all of a sudden you have Peter over here saying, repent, be baptized. In other words, here's one more chance. Repent, be baptized because of the remission of sins, because God has already given you grace. God's allowed you to offer the sacrifices of bulls and goats. And that was how you got here now. If you'll just get down this water right now, the deal is still there. Question, did they do it? No, they didn't. In fact, you go over to Acts chapter 28, verse 28, and Paul is preaching to... Turn over to Acts chapter 28, I'll show you something. Then I got to quit, but Acts chapter 28. All right, in Acts chapter 28, look at verse 17. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people of customs of our fathers, yet I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hand of the Romans. And he continues to preach. And then in 19 it says, But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained. So he's preaching to the Jews here. And then verse 21, And they said unto him, We neither received letters of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed spake any harm of thee. But we desired to hear of thee, that thou think what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. He's talking to Jews here. Okay? And it says, And when they had appointed him a day, there came mainly unto him in his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Again, he's preaching to the Jews. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto your fathers, saying, Go unto this people, and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So he quoted Isaiah chapter 6. He's saying they're blind. They've been blinded. Now look at what it says in verse 28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. I'm just going to tell you right now, the message to offer blood of bulls and goats for the remission of sins was never given to any Gentile. Not a single Gentile was ever told to offer blood of bulls and goats. Amen? Not a single Gentile was ever told to repent and be baptized, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Jews were. Why? God was working with the nation of Israel. Wait there when Peter says repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. How many Gentiles were in that crowd? You know why? It was for the nation of Israel. And it's for them to receive their Messiah. In other words, if they got down to water and repented, the Messiah would have set up his kingdom. What are we saved with today? In fact, everybody today, both Jew and Gentile. Today, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today. Today, you do not repent and be baptized. No Gentile was ever told that. What are we supposed to do? Everybody today, believe upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he died for your sin, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day. That's the gospel by which you are saved, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So when a person today says, well, how'd you get saved? Well, I obeyed Acts 2:38. Somebody's not rightly dividing their Bible. Amen? Because that's not how a person gets saved today. That is how you interpret Acts 2:38. And listen, folks, there are people today that believe that they'll say, well, Acts 2:38, that's how I got saved. And I can prove it. Look what John the Baptist said. But they'll never go over here and show you the rest of the story. And what Paul said over and over, what Peter said over and over, what John said over and over, never will show you that. You got to compare, listen, it's the law of agreement. You've got to compare that scripture with all the other scriptures and what they say in there. And if you got a bunch of scriptures over here that happened before the cross, you might want to be careful about applying it to you. Why? That was in the Old Testament. Now, I'm not going to tell you that you can't apply some things in the Old Testament. You learn a lot from the Old Testament. But you can't, listen, once you go down that road and you start applying things the Old Testament does today, that's a slippery slope. Because there are feasts in that Old Testament. There are laws against eating ham in that Old Testament. I mean, there are a lot of different laws. Where are you going to draw the line at? Remember, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You got to divide it up. Amen? Well, that's That's your homework assignments, and I'm not going to give you any more. Amen? All right. Any questions?